And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to today's episode of The Meta Show. It is January 18th, Saturday. I am Bruce Rubal. I'm here joined by my co-host, as always, the Mitani.
Hello, hello. I'm glad to be here. And, you know, it's kind of a funny thing. Every week we get together, and sometimes I'm in a greater or lesser capacity, depending upon the amount of a hangover I've had. That was the adventure this week. And, you know, the last couple shows we've had some challenges because, you know, sometimes, you know, holiday slump or not enough going on or whatever. And, you know, when it rains, it pours. This week we have a massive amount of stuff to go over. So we're going to be doing things slightly differently. I'm actually going to forego my rant, and Brisk has a whole bunch of stuff we're going to go into here in a moment. I will probably get angry about something like I did last show when I started ranting about, like, you know, blackout truthers and shit like that. But for today, there's going to be no rant, but we have a whole bunch of stuff about the MER, which had a bunch of really interesting things happening in the drone regions vis-a-vis Delve. We have FRT declaring war on Guardians of the Galaxy, and we have just a huge January patch with Shield Slaves. We have, you know, maybe Drakes, probably not Drakes, but heavy missiles are back on the menu. A whole bunch of shit has changed, and we have one of our best super capital FCs in the Imperium here to help us grind through all of the what the fuck are Shield Slaves even. So it's an exciting show, and I want to give it a shout out here before I hand things over to Brisk. We are trying to get better at rolling the credits after the show is over, but we are a pair of lawyers here running the show, and we are incredibly technically inept at everything. This is why we have staff, or we try to. So to get things going at the beginning, I want to give a huge shout out to everybody who's been working on the show as a producer for the last several weeks and hasn't necessarily gotten the credit they deserve because we are bad at pressing buttons. So, you know, January Valentine to Jay Amazingness. Reaver has helped us out with some stuff on the side. Mirana, of course, and Lifeshifter. I want to make sure I'm not leaving anybody out. But thank you all so much. And now I'm going to hand things back over to Brisk. And yeah, man, what do we got? What's on the Brisk rant?
Well, all right, my rant is less of a rant and more of a series of attaboys, because I know last show I was very critical on CCP for communications, and I had some good conversations with folks after the fact, and I wanted to say, you know what, this is a type of show where we're not always going to be critical. When CCP does the right stuff, we're going to give them attaboys. When they do the wrong stuff, we're going to be critical. This week, all I got are attaboys, and the first thing I want to talk about is Plex for Good. If you guys didn't see, and I hope that you did, one of the big things that CCP has done in the past is they've run a campaign called Plex for Good that would allow players to donate Plex in-game to a certain character that CCP would set up, and CCP would take that Plex, whatever the dollar value they assign to it, and then donate that to various causes around the world, depending on what's going on. In the past, we have done Plex for Good campaigns for Hurricane Katrina, for earthquakes in Haiti, for tsunamis in Indonesia, among other places. And now we're in the midst of a Plex for Good campaign that to benefit the Australian brush fires. So I want to say, yesterday on Open Comms, I donated 1,200 Plex. I hope that you guys have had an opportunity to do that. This is a great opportunity that CCP is doing to let us give a little bit back to our fellow players, particularly our players in Australia that have been impacted by these brush fires. And it's a great way for us to demonstrate how big and how worldwide a game EVE is. And I love the fact that they brought this out for the first time in years. It's been almost, I think, 5 years since the last time we've had a Plex for Good campaign. So attaboy CCP for that. I also want to highlight, literally about an hour ago, the initiative ran a big event. There was an event yesterday that was in AU time zone basically a big brawl for the brush fires that Sword Dragon and others put together. Today, Initiative put out and killed the first Zernitra, Triglavian Dread, in the game. Let me throw you the kill mail up here for you guys. This was Dark Shines, who is the Super Cap FC for the Initiative, put together a completely crazy tanked Zernitra and then offered to let everybody in the game come and kill it, and we did. And that was literally an hour ago, and the benefit was to get everybody into place and advertise Plex for Good. So hopefully you guys came out and enjoyed this. It was a pretty fun kill, and it's the first Zernitra Trig Dread to die in the game, and I think that was for a pretty good cause. And I also want to throw out a shout-out to CCP to say thank you for the January patch. I made a joke on the forums, and I'll say it again. This patch included Shield Slaves, a heavy missile buff, nerfs to sirens, module tier aside. This was the level of fan service for the Eve community. It was like a little episode of The Mandalorian is fan service for Star Wars fans. I mean, this was everything that the community had, almost everything the community has been bitching about for years. When are we going to get shield slaves? When are you going to fix heavy missiles? When are you going to nerf sirens and make super carriers a little bit less cancer? This was great. And I feel like this is the evidence of what Team Talos can bring to bear when they're given the chance to go out and just do the stuff that they hear from players constantly. This is what we want. And they did it. And, I mean, granted, we're going to have a whole conversation about shield slaves and how balanced they are or not balanced they are and the impact on the meta and those types of things. But the reality is this was a change the community had asked for. This was something that had been brought up by multiple CSMs, including the one that I served on. I'm sure the ones that Mitten served on also had people talking about some of these issues. They got it done. And I got to give them credit for doing that. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the next releases are going to be, because if they keep doing this kind of fan service, they're going to make a lot of people in the game very happy. And hopefully that will translate into them playing more and coming back for those that left. So that's my rant for the day. Attaboy CCP, you guys did good. And if you have not had a chance, go out there and donate some Plex to Plex for Good. Let's help our Australian friends in their hour of need. With that, I'm ready to go to the top story. If you're ready to go to the top story, Mittens.
Yeah, let's dive into it.
All right, here we go. Our top story, obviously, is the January release. And we're going to talk about some pretty serious changes to the meta incoming. We wanted to introduce Jay Amazingness. Jay, who's also a producer on the Meta Show, also happens to be the top super capital FC in the Imperium. One of our best friends, and he's here all the time with us. Thanks for joining us, Jay.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Can you talk a little bit about what you saw in the January patch and what you think the biggest implications are going to be for the meta?
Obviously, you have the shield slaves and the impact that has on the supercap meta. Also, like, these missile changes are great. The sites they've got to get the slaves, I don't know if they're great currently, but I have a conspiracy theory about, like, the way that's all going on.
What do you think it is?
So I think that the way they're introducing these BPCs, the drop rate on high grade seems very, very low. And yesterday we ran sites for about 12 hours or so. We didn't get any blueprints. And as soon as I logged off, Asher got one. So that's always fun to wake up to. But the drop rate for the high-grade blueprints is very low. Mid-grade seems to be a little bit better. But the way I see this going is that the high-grade implants will be very valuable. There'll only be a handful of people that actually get a full set on their Titan. There'll be, you know, 10 plus bill, I think, for the set is what I'm thinking. Mid-grades, they're around 4.5 to 5 bill at the minute. I picked up a few sets of those already. But I think CCP have designed it this way. That's my conspiracy. This is the conspiracy period part. But I think they've done this deliberately so that they know these are so powerful and you could call them overpowered to shield supers. But I think that because they've introduced them this way, that when they introduce the low grades, they'll put the low grades into an LP store. So everyone will have low grades in their Super and Titans, except for the richest of people.
Well, I mean, this is one of the things I have as a concern about this, just, you know, from a balance perspective, is throughout the history of EVE Online, we have seen repeatedly that balancing through scarcity does not work at scale, right? Like, you know, some of the things that I'm not sure if people are all aware of this, and we're gonna dive into this, I guess, now. But you can do some crazy shit with these things. Like, you can design a Leviathan with like 66 million EHP that's like passive, and it's nuts, right? And so my question is, are these things intended to be ubiquitous? If they're not going to be ubiquitous, is CCP going to be relying upon a scarcity mechanic to balance them, considering how absolutely awfully that's worked out in the past? I think it would probably be more appropriate for them to be about as common as normal armor slaves in the longer term, and then balanced around that. Because, like, right now, Jay, maybe could you just sort of take us into why are these things so overpowered right now? If you did have access to them, what are some of the crazy things you can do with them if you hypothetically got your hands on a full set?
Okay, so on super caps especially, you're getting crazy recharge numbers, like 50,000 DPS tanked passively without no one repping you or anything. Just the recharge rate scales amazingly with how many hit points you have in shield. So with more shield hit points, you're tanking crazy amounts of DPS. Also, like, the EHP numbers are now out of whack. Like, the way the game has been designed for a while has been around armor slaves existing and shield slaves not existing. So, yeah, you see that graph linked on stream right there. It's crazy. Look at the amount of, like, EHP the numbers are now compared to everything else. It's like, armor supers are now, yes, they have more utility, and that's great, but, you know, you're not suddenly gaining utility mods out of shield slaves, you're just gaining more tank. So shield supers still have all the problems they had before with getting neutered, not having as much utility, but they're just gaining more tank because of it, which I don't think is great. I think it's pretty shitty of way of introducing them. Like, Asher had a really good idea that that you would have a resistance way. So, like, the way invulns used to work, where if they were offline, they'd still get a percentage of the resists, and you would, the implants would make those resists better. So that if your hardeners were offline in a fight, you'd still have some of the resists.
I mean, just looking at these numbers flat out, I mean, this is absurd. You're able to get a Leviathan, which largely in the past has been considered the weakest of all the Titans. Its tank was not that great. It could be neutered out. And, you know, XL missiles never really apply as well as lasers or you know, the other types of modules you're going to see on a Titan. Rags and their cap artillery and things of that nature. Now, regardless of whether you care about those guns, you can get a Leviathan in fleet, get the EHP up to the 150 million level, only worry about using its doomsday, and you're never going to be able to neuter it out. I mean, this is kind of crazy how this is. So I can understand why CCP would want it to alter the drop rate, or at least make the drop rate on the tie-in stuff so low, so that this does not become the meta. But even eventually, it's going to be. I mean, at some point,
that'll be disappointing. Be really disappointing for people like Test, or even like the members of the Imperium that own shield supers. Like, you've been promised shield supers by CCP for the last few years, and they're introduced, but you know, the top ones are, you know, they're just out of your price range. Like, even for super pilots, you know, dropping 10-15 bill on a set of implants is, yeah, you could do it for maybe a few people, but like, the fleet isn't going to be able to do that.
And I want to focus up real quick on the Leviathan, because you had put up a fit here that this is like a standard levy that everybody would have.
No, that's my anti-D-W beacon levy.
Okay, all right. That's, I mean, still, even that, 64.5 million EHP, I mean, this is just kind of crazy to do that.
So no matter what, that fit's going to have 66 million EHP if it's being boosted by another ship. It's really ridiculous that you can get the shield hit points that high. Like, before, that fit was like, you could still realistically use it. It was kind of terrible, though, because it only had like about 40 million HP, which is about what an avatar has. So you're not really getting a massive bonus over an avatar if you wanted to use this. But even if you took off a thermal hardener on this fit and you threw on an invul, you're going up to 80 million HP with one invul, one active module. 80 million HP. Two invulns on this fit, 110. The way it scales is just incredibly.
That's absolutely nuts. One of the questions that I have about this is, in terms of shaking up the super capital meta when it comes to like an actual Titan fight, I wonder if this is actually really going to change that much, because, you know, where, you know, normally speaking, you'd be prioritizing, you know, a Ragnarok or an Erebus. Like, if it's a bunch of Titans on the field, you're trying to clear as much shit as you can. You're usually going to be attacking the weakest Titans in terms of tank first. You know, Leviathans aren't, well, do you think, I mean, it seems like this would probably just, we weren't exactly prioritizing going after levies before, and now we'd probably just leave them to last, Sword Dragon style. Where do you see this sort of shaking up the meta, or will it change the meta at all, Jay?
It's really hard to say. Like, the minimum super cap fights is defined by one fight that happens every 2 or 3 years, and then for the next two or three years, you base all your decisions off that. So, like, we're still in the X-47 mindset of things, the way we're thinking about things. And that will be the mindset up until we take the next big fight. And then we'll make our, you know, the meta will be defined for the next few years based on the next fight, unless any major changes are made. But
the X-47 meta was based on volley doomsdays from mass globs of Titans. So essentially you would try to coordinate one target and then doomsday enough that you could alpha a Titan off the field. And that's how we did it last time. Do you see that? I mean, obviously that's going to change the targeting philosophy. You're not going to be going after rags first, like happened last time.
Yeah. Like, so like a rag fit, like a rag now has about like 90 million HP if it's being phenomena generated. So that's, that like adds an extra, you know, 30, 40 doomsdays onto it. Groups like us, like the Imperium, we can still do the DD volley targets. DD volley targets all day long. It'll just take us more Titans. We won't kill things at as fast a rate. But I think for the smaller groups, especially like the snuff Deadco fight we saw a couple months ago, that fights like that will really be affected. Like Ranger Regiment, we're losing Ragnaroks incredibly.
Oh, fast. For anybody who can't like drop enough,
if you're not,
like,
so if you're not,
you're not at like 100 Titans plus, exactly. Right? You're not able to volley fire somebody out the field.
That's where it's really going to make a difference.
Ooh, that's tough, actually. That's,
in fights like that, where you weren't DD volleying really, it was mostly like gun damage and fighter bomber damage. Like Ragnaroks are really, really strong, especially if you can put a few gyros and artillery on.
What do you think this is going to do? And I've already seen a couple of questions about this in chat, because we've mostly been sticking with our examples about the obvious, more common Leviathan thing, but especially because these shield slaves look like they're going to be extremely pricey items. We can logically assume that if somebody can afford a Komodo, Komodo. If you can afford a Komodo, you can probably shell out the extra to make sure you eventually get a hold of these kind of things. What does this do to the Komodo?
It makes it really ridiculous. There's like, I think 280 million EHP when it's overheated is roughly what I was looking at. And
I saw Sword had a Pipha. Like, Sword had a Pipha of one that was all officer. I mean, Aerith's all officer fit now is probably going to hit
Aerith, too late. Right? Like, so everyone's like EFTing these like officer fit Komodos with like max possible resists and everything, and the reality of it is most Komodos aren't really fit that way. I know one that is fit that way, and the Aerith has already said, I don't care how much it costs, just get me the implants. So I think for killing Aerith it's going to be really hard, but he doesn't log in much anyway. But yeah, 280 million overheated is the number, which is
280 million. Yikes, that's...
So you would essentially need 100 Titans doomsdaying him at exactly the same time to volley him off the field.
Insane. We don't look at like about 200 Titans, I think, to guarantee the kill at that point.
Yeah, that's just...
Just leave that thing logged in. Like, I mean, when it's overheated, of course, that doesn't really like... that's not really sustainable. But for many cases, like, you could drive, like, you could just like park that thing and just go AFK for like a day and come back, and it would still be there unless somebody had dropped an entire series of battle fleets on top of it. The passive regen would just be nuts in and of itself. Wow, that is so just out of raw, just sort of masturbatory EFT Pipha abuse here. Like, what is the biggest, like, passive DPS shield recharge you can get using one of these things? What's the biggest, like, passive tank in terms of incoming DPS per second?
254,000 DPS, isn't it?
254,000 DPS?
154.
Still. I mean, that's more DPS per second than your average Dreadfleet coming out. I mean,
that's insane. The same.
It's equivalent to, like, 2 or 3 Minakawas repping you.
Wow.
Yeah.
You combine that with the nerf caps. So like the nerfs on shield super. So with the Apostle and Minakawa caps they introduced, you know, the Fax rep.
Yeah,
cap
the Fax rep.
The word I was looking
Fax
for.
Rep,
yeah,
nerf. Yeah, the diminishing so returns.
With that, you have about Erebus is they can tank about 900,000 DPS a second before reps. Sort of, you know, adding more reps doesn't really do anything. It just ups it like 10,000 or so. But on Minakawas, on Levies, it was like, I think 1.1, I think I could get it up to. like, so 1.1 million HP, that was on the old fit, so I don't even know what it would be. It wouldn't really make much of a difference with Shield Slaves, but when you add in the recharge and everything, that's, you know, that, you know, a couple Minokawas that you're getting for free, basically, that are repping you. Blow shields.
So all right, so clearly, you know, I mean, granted, this is the kind of thing where we can point out on paper how big a deal it is and how much of a shift in the Titan meta that this is going to represent. But if there aren't any big fights to demonstrate it, it's going to be hard to convince CCP they need to do something.
It's a really weird spot that we're in, because it's like the theoretical changes it could make to the meta.
Right.
Like, right. We're day three since they added these, and there's been two high-grade Omega sales in Jita for 2.8 bill, which isn't, you know, it's really low. I mean, I've been willing to pay a couple bill for them, but they were sold to sell orders. High-grade sets, I haven't seen a full one on the market yet. I've got two sets, actually, currently being shipped to Delve, so I can put them in my levies, of mid-grades, just as a backup, unless I don't get the high-grades. But, like, the high-grades aren't going to be seen, I don't think, as much. Like, I think you're going to get, like, the few people that are willing to pay 10, 15 bill a set for them, but mid-grades are going to be the most common for, you know, the space middle class. But,
you know, dude who's on his first Titan
who's just been told to get his implants because his alliance told him, he's going to have to wait for the low grades.
I think people will end up seeing them, but not necessarily in terms of using them themselves. Like, I think that because it makes it so hard to get a Titan volleyed off the field at scale, and it reduces the risk factor for shield supers and Titans, we haven't even talked about the possible impact that could have on supers. But, you know, in terms of like homeland defense bullshit, if you're like running around a place like Delve or something like that, now you're going to probably see a bunch of really hyperactive, like wealthy people with their Ferraris that happen to be, you know, levies or Commodos or whatever. And those are, you know, they're just going to get thrown around, you know, with absolute impunity now, because like if you're in a local defense area, you can be like, because with the numbers you're talking about, you can be like, oh hey, here's a 50 man gang that came to Delve, I will drop a solo levy or a solo Komodo on these guys, and maybe I'll have my own fax machine and whatever, but like if something happens, like maybe by next Tuesday they might be able to hurt my big shiny toy. It's almost like a level of local immunity which we haven't mathematically seen in EVE in a lot of ways since possibly callback like warp stabbed snaked out vagabonds way back in like the 2005 2006 era, where like it just gets to a point where like with certain speeds you cannot be touched. Well, in this case we're hitting certain extremes of math, and purple modules get you to a point where like there's just, you know, you're essentially a god, and I'm not sure
what impacts
I mean, that's my concern. You know, in a meta where we have been complaining for a while that Titans are too powerful, Supers are too powerful, that it's too difficult to kill them, and we've been asking CCP over and over again to provide ways to separate out the Super Cap and the Sub Cap meta, and trying to find ways to make Titans and all these other big ships that are becoming more and more common easier to kill, so that there are fewer of them, they have less of an impact on the entire game, and then boom, we see the introduction of new implants that doubles the survivability of
minimum. Which, you know, the rich, of course, are the people that have the most of these super powerful things. So the areas that it'll be abused, I mean, we're going to abuse the hell out of it, right? Like, as soon as we can get a way to find a way to do this. I mean, it seems like it's fun if you happen to have the Ferrari. Like, if you're, you know, the billionaire that wants to hunt the poor in the streets for sport, this is exactly what you wanted. And it is cool. Like, it's exciting that we're talking about this. But, like, let's keep in mind, one of the reasons why I never expected to see Shield Slaves really actually be implemented in the game is because the game is balanced around them not existing. And in as we're seeing here with some of the things we're already beginning to explore, at the further end of the math, it does just break the game. Now, Team Talos is proving that they're able to do things every 2 weeks, and that is cool and good. And they will almost certainly have to nerf these things if they want them to go out into any wider capacity. And I just as a warning, if they're assuming that they can balance these things through scarcity, that is not how EVE works. That is why, you know, the Imperium has north of like 1,100 Titans on our last deployment, and probably more now. So, yikes. But, man, these things are nuts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the thing. We're talking about Titans primarily. But the reality is, the mid-grades, how much did you pay for your mid-grades, Jay?
The full bill from a set of mid-grades. But the thing with mid-grades is full bill isn't, you know, it's about what a normal super pod would be worth. And if you're in a hell ratting, you know, hells are already not cost-effective to kill. Like, hell is the easiest super carrier to kill.
I hadn't thought about that at all.
But yeah. So if you're a group trying to harass, like, Delve or the drone regions, whatever, and you're trying to kill ratting supers, the hells are your go-to target. You know, they're almost, like, not guaranteed all the time, but they're very easy to nude out, and most people, like, you know, they panic because it's the first time they're getting tackled. So these are going to be hard to kill, and I think it even would be, especially if you have passive hardeners on your hell, like a passive EM and therm hardener, and you have like a recon with you, I think they're going to be not cost effective to kill with dreads, because you're going to have to drop way too many dreads to kill it in a reasonable time. And I think it's going to be cost effective in terms of dreads lost to the value of the hell, because hell's already 9 bill. So, yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Supers are cheap enough now that you can afford to throw the implant in there, and you're still, it's less than 15 bill for the whole fit. Throw that in, I mean, you're going to look at, you know, million plus EHP rattlesnakes. You're going to have out there ratting. You're going to have ravens out there in these things that are going to be harder to kill. You can have buffer tank supers, like you were saying, that are now much more difficult to kill than Nyxes or the other, even you know, an Aeon that's designed to be like super tanks.
I have to go for these Nyxes. And if you're smart living in an umbrella region, your Nyx is going to be, Nyx has 7 lows, so you're going to have 5 of those lows are going to be tank modules, so 2 plates, 2 energizers, and a damage control. And that is like 19 million EHP with slaves. And the second you get boosts on grade, that's 25 million EHP. So dropping 3 or 4 dreads in hopes of killing it very quickly and under 1 siege cycle isn't really a reality with those Nyxes. You need to drop 7 or 8 dreads and hope that the escalation doesn't catch you.
You know, really, just the whole thing.
It's not worth it.
The last thing that I can really remember anyone asking in EVE Online, because I seem to remember for years now, my line has always been death to all super caps, delete the damn things, they're the worst thing that ever happened to the game, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then we've had endless debates and discussions about ways that we can nerf or basically bring these things into balance so that they can't impact sub capitals as much, so that you require. You know, you require subcapital support if you're going to go up the escalation chain. I really don't remember anyone going, man, what we really need to do is take half of the super carriers and titans in the game and make them a shitload more powerful, but only if you're rich and well organized. Because, I mean, you know, as like space tyrant, you know, whatever asshole guy here, like this is just handing the Imperium power that we did not ask for. A tremendous amount of power that we are uniquely positioned to leverage our connections and our organization and our financial capital to actually get together and even create an alliance or a coalition level distribution system where we're handing out these sets, and then we can change our regulations such that you're not ratting in a Nyx anymore inside of the Umbrella. You're only using one of these horrifically overpowered things. We require you to have a mid-grade set.
That'd be hilarious.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, anyway. I mean, I'm coming up with this shit on the fly, but these are just the logical ways that I think about it. It's like, okay, well, you know, if you would go after a Nyx, but like hells are cheap and this would make it not cost effective, then you have an alliance program, then you have an organized, like an alliance buying program, subsidies, blah, blah, blah.
Especially regulations, if low grades order, are added to an LP store. If low grades get added to an LP store, we just tell all the ratters to get into hells. And yeah, just
you absolutely have to have a low grade set. Yeah.
What do these do to Rorquals?
Same thing. I mean, it's they're going to help the tank, obviously. You
know? Having more hit points on a Rorqual, though,
doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter because you're active tanking it. So,
yeah.
The thing that's insane though is, and sadly, there are not too many low sec groups around anymore. But like rattlesnakes and low sec, and they're going to be absolutely crazy. They're going to be 800,000 HP, doing 1,000 DPS. You know, you throw a Phenom Levy in there, sitting in a POS that you're fighting on, you're up to 1.1 million HP. You know, these even subcaps aren't designed to do this with this much HP. Like, I mean, 1,000 DPS, 1 million
HP. Imagine the wormholers with their blingy fits now, throwing these on. You know, when they're running around in their 1.1 Bill Leshaks, They're not, you know, this it's gonna be interesting.
I was talking to Capri about this a couple of days ago, and it was Novak. I think they have a pulsar wormhole, which gives a bonus to shield hit points already. And you put like they have like a Barghest fleet or whatever, so you can do these Barghests are already ridiculously tanked, but you put mid grade, high grade Nirvana implants in them, you're getting crazy numbers.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So, as usual, you know, to me, this is a pretty standard thing. Players, and I said this in the beginning, and it's true. This is fan service. Players have been asking for shield slaves for years, and it was always the joke. It's never going to happen. They're never going to do it. They're never going to add them in, and they finally do it. And you see, instead of bringing the shield titans and shield supers up to parity with the armors, now they're so much better that it's going to be shifting the meta on a lot of different things. And at some point, they're going to have to dial it back. So, you know, in the end, I think that my biggest issue with this, granted, you know, it's nice to see them doing what players want, but sometimes we have to realize that the things that we as a player base ask for are not always the types of things that they really should be giving us. This is one of those things. It's made the Supercap umbrella that much harder to deal with. And that's the opposite of the direction that I think we need the game to go.
I mean, like in practice, like sort of thinking it through logically, I'm making this shit up as I go along. I'm sorry, guys. Like, there's a bunch of stuff for us to go over, so I'm
gonna we got a ton. But this try is, to move I mean, us this is off. A huge impact. It's a huge.
But like, so. Why wouldn't you like at this point, like in terms of if you have the kind of organization that has like doctrines and systems and can, you know, basically like a nullsec empire to do mass scale reorgs and pivots and doctrine shifts and things like that. You know, it might logically end up killing off all non-shield supers used for PvE. Like, there would be no reason to not just have everybody using Hells with these things in them. And that just becomes ever raising the bar higher for, you know, you need to be able to bring this much DPS to play if you want to even impact an umbrella. You know, it's just the way that this can be used is...
one hand, it's great to do that, right? But it also is, it's kind of not great. Like, I kind of enjoy it.
It's bad for the game.
I mean, I enjoy killing the groups of dreads that come into Delve and try and make the plays on the hills. But now, if they're not,
we'll have fun with it. But I mean, maybe, you know, one of the people in chat here is asking, how is this bad? The people wanting to gank will have to work for the kills. Well, we'll find out. Like, basically, I can promise you this, the Imperium does not necessarily agree with, you know, if CCP does something that I think is like a dumb game mechanic, like back in the day, slaved sentry drones with the whole finger of God mechanic from the slow cat fleet era, like we hated sentry drones and then we based a shitload of our doctrines around them and we showed to the rest of the game how these things can be abused. You know, you have to compete to stay alive. And you, I promise you this, you are going to be seeing a lot of these Nirvana implants just increasingly proliferating, sorry, in an organized way through the Imperium as we find new ways that we can bolt these onto our doctrine, our umbrella. But my God, that's I think all really we're gonna say about this for now. Where are we gonna go next, Brisk?
Let me run through. I'll run through some of the other changes in the January release, and we can talk about them briefly because we've spent a lot of time on this, and I do want to get to Nullsec Power Hour because we have some stuff going on in the game. The heavy missile buff, I think that was sorely needed. You know, for a long time, heavy missiles have been kind of like the redheaded stepchild of the missile line, and everybody had shifted most of their stuff to rapid lights. But now the heavy missiles, I think, are much with this change, are going to be seen more often. Jay and I were talking before, and we think you're most likely going to see Cerberus's the type of hack that typically, you know, uses this type of platform is going to be much more used. Maybe not Drake's as much as we would like to see the Drake's come back, but I think, you know, the heavy problems, missiles on Serbs will be a thing.
Problems still exist. The reason the hack meta is so dominant right now is because you need to be able to run away from fighters. They haven't really changed that. Like, yeah, they nerfed sirens a little bit so that, you know, they're not as, sirens are kind of bad right now, which is fine because they were really overpowered before, but one thing people aren't considering is, yes, sirens were nerfed, which was right, and maybe people won't use sirens. But now you're getting, instead of doing 3/5 of the damage the super carriers did, you're now getting the entire damage that the super carrier can do. They're going to drop 3 long range and 2 light fighters on you. So you're getting a lot more damage out of super carriers if you've got tackle on the gang you're dropping on currently. We're also going to see the reason why Drakes won't be like a mainline doctrine for everyone. They're probably used to like skirmish doctrines or whatever, but like Horde Dreads apply really, really well to Drakes. Like super carrier fighters will just eat Drakes like insanely fast. Yeah. So like the issues still exist that capsules are way too powerful against subcaps. So that's why hacks will still be used, but the Cerberus definitely can, I think we'll see more of them.
And you mentioned one of the other big changes. The other change that they added in here, in addition to the heavy missile buff, was a nerf to Sirens. Essentially, Sirens are the warp disrupting fighter, support fighter that you can use in supers. So what they ended up doing was they removed the micro warp drive on the Siren. They replaced it with an afterburner, and then they gave bonus to afterburner speed. But the result is that they're about half as fast as they used to be, and it takes much longer for them to spool up to get to full speed. And that I
takes
think
about is half impact. Cycle. That takes about half their cycle to get up to full speed.
Exactly. So it's one of those things where it's going to be much harder for supers to be their own tackle in regards to subcaps. Now, my biggest concern is I like this change, but like you said, what it's just going to simply mean is that you're going to want to have tackle somewhere else on grid. And if there is, then the supers are going to be able to apply even more damage than they were before. But my biggest concern is I think Sirens are less of an issue in a lot of the super cap fights today, especially when you're trying to kill Ratters. The Ratters, really, where the real rubber meets the road for them is on the Dromi fighter, which is the web fighter. That allows you to slow the ship down and apply damage better so that you can get the full amount. They didn't change that, so the Dromis are still fast. I think people are just going to swap out Sirens for Dromis and then hope that they can kill things faster and clear tackle that way. So I still think there's an issue that needs to be addressed there, at least in that regard. Because I think that's where the meta is going to change. What is, am I wrong on that, Jay, or does that make sense to you?
Makes sense to me. You do run into some issues, though, that if you do swap out your Siren for another Dromi, so you have two Dromis on a super, that you'll be webby people into warp.
That's a good point. Yep.
It might be funny seeing like supers dropping and just webbing you, and you're like, oh, okay, swap off. Thanks.
Yeah, that's great. The last thing, well, there's two other, I guess three things we can bring up really quickly. There were two, I think this is total fan service quality of life changes that were in the January update that people liked. The first was the corp communications roles. If you're in a big corporation and if you have spies and Horde like everybody seems to do, or you've got folks in all of these groups, you'll have random folks that join and then just start sending corp emails because they're assholes. And now, finally, CCP has finally said, hey, we're going to stop letting you do that. And they restricted corporate emails and alliance emails to a communication officer role, which then the directors can hand out.
God.
That's great. It just stops the spam. Thank you. That's a quality of life thing. It's not a big deal, but I think people care about it. The other thing they did was they changed the overview so that when you're looking at your overview, you can sort by columns, but if you did that under the old system, you sort by columns, it changed the columns for every tab that you would have on the overview. So if you were switching between your priority targets tab and your friendly tab or your loot tab, it would all end up, whatever your last column that you sorted was, that's how it would be arranged. They changed it now so that there's a memory so that you can sort by one column on one tab, go to the other tab and sort by a different one. That way you can have, say, your FC tab is set for the closest distance or the alphabetical or however you want to call targets. You can switch to another tab and you can sort it by range or something else. It's just a nice little quality of life thing.
Pretty
that makes
nice.
Life easier. The last thing I'll mention about the January thing was module tier aside. They did module tier aside for shield. I guess it was shield boosters. It's the first module tier aside we've seen in a long time. I want to say more than at least 2 years. Everybody, this is one of the inside jokes that you'll see quite a bit when people complain about CCP not balancing the game. Somebody will bring up, and they haven't done module tier aside in years. Well, now we can't say that anymore because they did a round of module tier aside. So that's an attaboy to Ryze and Team Talos for getting that done. That's I think it's really just something nice that it makes the game a little bit easier to understand. So everything is kind of set in the same nomenclature. And you can understand just by looking at the name of something what it does. And I think that makes it a little bit easier. So that was a good sign. Was there anything else in the January release that you guys saw that you want to talk about?
No, I think I want to say that we are about to kick into Cool Kids mode. We're going to go back into doing that. Sorry we missed that last week, guys. We do this as a gift to our subscribers. I also have made the unfortunate life choice of looking at Warhammer 40K. I haven't played the game since 5th edition, and 8th is really good. It's been 10 years. And so as we end up, you know, I don't really have like a Scotch fund or a barge fund or anything, but now basically if people end up throwing money at the screen for subscriber things, it'll probably end up going to fund a terrible plastic crack habit. So yeah, that's cool. So yeah, we're going to go into the Cool Kids Club mode. So let me type that out here and let's take us to where are we going next? Let's go.
We're going to the NullSec Power Hour next. You guys ready for this? Here we go.
Let's do it.
So for the NullSec Power Hour this week, I think we do have some pretty significant news. I guess this happened Thursday morning, late, at least East Coast United States. Fraternity, the biggest Chinese alliance in the game, part of the leader of Winter Coalition, has hostily reset Dead Coalition up in the north, the former GOTG. And that is a pretty big deal because Deadco and FRT are the two biggest Australian time zone alliances in the game. And now they're going to be fighting each other, which means there's a third front opening up in the north in the war in the north. So this is kind of crazy. Jay, you want to talk a little bit about this and tell us what you know?
Crazy to think that FRT, you know, historically aligned with NC Dot, would reset Dead Coalition. While NC Dot is attacking Dead Coalition, it's crazy, right?
I'm shocked. No,
isn't that interesting? It's amazing that this happened.
This is my surprise face.
FRT wants the space, but FRT space is already really, really good, as you see with the MER, which we'll talk about in a bit, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think Soul Dragon's holding his own up there for a while. Like the whole come at me test thing, the test deployment hasn't really. I haven't seen anything them see them do anything in a week or so. Like they haven't been doing anything. Even this whole test deployment has like been a typical PGL deployment. Honestly, it's they tried to ref a SOTO. They didn't really do anything. They killed an init fleet once or twice, and then that's it. That's all I've seen them do.
Had they officially deployed, or did they just sort of like peter out?
They're down. Focusing they're down on the killing Stain Keep Star and Stain now, right?
Yeah, that's another thing. I could laugh about and, you know, run my mouth about for a little bit, but I find the whole Stain deployment hilarious as well. You know, get ready for Shield Slaves, guys. We'll pacify Stain, and when they get added to the LP store, it's going to be great, but they didn't add them to the LP store.
Now, I feel bad for everybody who had been stockpiling Sansa's LP and thinking Stain was going to be the super region for Shield Slaves, and then, yeah, nothing. It's just kind of funny.
I there's a few things about this. Like, I don't want to dismiss FRT getting added to this campaign, but I probably am because, you know, kind of like how Test like attacking diagonally, one of the, you know, crossing the galaxy is kind of hard to do. One of the biggest challenges with like serious Sov War in the year of our Lord 2020, and it's been this way for some time now, is that it's hard. Let's just put it like this. How do you know that an alliance is serious about taking and winning the territory that's needed in a Sov War? Well, that's if they want to live in there after they're done. Now, the question is, does FRT want to give up all of their Sov and basically squat where Sword Dragon and his crew are? And it looks like the answer is no. And that's sort of the same deal with what happened with Test. So, you know, it'd be kind of like us saying we're going to go attack everybody. Like, you know, we didn't. You know, when we said we were going to scourge the Galactic Northeast when we attacked Vince, everybody knew, and Vince did the right thing, that they realized they could just redeploy NC Dot because at a certain level, they knew that we were not going to vacate Delve. So after we were done burning everything down, we were going to go back home. And, you know, all of these people attacking Sword Dragon this, blah, 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 grr, 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 attack the Northwest. But nobody actually wants the fucking place. And so it's kind of hard for me to be all like, oh, wow, there's a new player on the field. They're totally going to do some stuff to the Northwest, and then they'll turn around and go away when they get bored because they don't actually want the regions. So
it's crazy to think about this, right? If you think about, like, an analogy I have is FRT are currently living in, like, a really nice gated community, you know? It's not in range of any NPC regions, no NPC space in range. You can't. The level of harassment is... The harassment to effort ratio is way out of whack with the drone regions.
Which so is reflected, like, in the MER, like, right. Crazy.
Let me throw this up real quick to, so you guys can see it. Hold on a second. That's not the right one. Where am I looking at? Oh, wait. I don't have it up on the screen. I'll have to find it. But if you look at the numbers, Owasa, which is smack dab in the middle of the drone regions, which is their main ratting space, was only within 200 billion ISK of Delve for the first time in forever. I mean, the only time that anybody ever beats Delve in ratting income is when goons are deployed. So I think the last time was June of 2019 when Branch was, and that was, you know, Dead Cove space, when Branch was number one because the goons were all up north, you know, glassing tribute. So that they were able to do this is pretty clear. This is great space. Unlike Delve, there's no NPC space for folks that want to come in there and screw with them to deploy into. It's hard to get to, and they can control the whole region, and the result is the ratting numbers are off the chart.
The way the drum region is set up, it's so overlapping with in terms of drum ranges that, you could be in Owasa and Peregrine Falls, but you're only 1 meter away from NC Dol, who's in Malpay. So it's mind-boggling to think that Winterco could be wanting the space that Sword Dragon currently occupies, which is very easily harassable. It's very easy to harass Branch if you deploy to Venal. PL would historically deploy to Venal and just create mass amounts of problems for NC Dot, of not NC Dot, for FCON, who lived in Branch, just by deploying to Venal. So deploying out of the drone regions, which is very hard to harass your radars and your miners in, like, seriously, like, yeah, you could, like, bomber fleets or whatever that they harass you, but they're not, you know, 20 dreads every 20 minutes killing something, whereas you could do that in Venal. If they live in, whoever lives in Branch, if you were seriously wanted to deploy to Branch and just keep chain harassing them, like happens in Delve and happens in Fountain, even in Gemini to some extent, you could do that in Branch, but you can't do it in Owasa, which is crazy to think why they'd leave it.
I mean, I think this is one of the reasons why we see so much action in the Galactic Northwest over the last couple of years, is that essentially there are so many, that ground in Fazi-Sav is terrible. Like, you know, one of the biggest lessons that I took away from the Casino War was that I should have declared that we lost and retreated to Delve basically the moment, I mean, hell, even before it started, right? Like when Aegis-Sav happened, Fazi-Sav fucked up the whole game. It wasn't Dominion. And as a result, the sort of geography, just the chessboard, I guess, as I call it, in the Northwest went from being a pretty okay space that had a decent mix of NPC and a lot of riches from Technetium and other good shit up there, and it was quite defensible, to becoming just like Swiss fucking cheese overnight under Fazi-Sav. And, you know, I think that one of the reasons they're constantly getting harassed is that it is easy to deploy out there. So you can base in Venal, you can base in Pure Blind. There's so many different ways that you can fuck with the Northwest. But precisely because there's so many different ways that you can fuck with the Northwest, if you have like a better region to live in, there is just no reason to, you know, take these. You know, it's like every other couple months, oh, somebody's going to go, this time they're going to get rid of Sword Dragon, and it's going to be a whole thing. And I just can't get off my ass to give a shit and take them seriously until somebody actually does something. Like, Sword Dragon got up here on the fucking meta show a while back and said, bring it, and basically told everybody, you know, suck my dick, come attack my space empire, bring it, bring it, bring it. And then basically everybody was like, eh, we're going to go over here now, right? You know, oh, let's go play on the Hypernet Relay. Oh, let's go do whatever. And it's just, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. Certainly, it's going to put pressure on this off time zone, because Sword is one of the only people out there that actually has like a big AU and Chinese presence within his coalition that isn't FRT. We in Goonswarm have some of a Chinese presence, but really it's going to be primarily what's happening with Deadco versus FRT. But, you know, it just doesn't add up, right? Like, compared to, especially when you see the MER. So you look at the MER and you go, like, these guys aren't going to fucking give up Owasa for Declan. Come on. Brisk, you're muted. Apparently. That's what the guys in chat are yelling.
Sorry, that's my bad. I pushed my button because I was typing stuff. Look, what I was wanted to say is, I mean, the reality is, I got to give Sword credit. He's got two-thirds of the game up his ass right now. He's got to deal with Legacy coming up and screwing around. He's got PanFam you got NCDOT and Pandemic Legion and Pandemic Horde coming in and screwing with him up in Teenal and trying to take that space back. You got Fraternity moving potentially up north. And he's holding his own up there, and he has been. And one of the reasons why he can do that is exactly what you said. They don't want to take the Sov. So in the end of the day, he's got so much territory, most of which is not being used. It's really just buffer space, that if he ever has to turtle up and bring all of his stuff home and consolidate into one or two areas, they can do that, and then they're not going to be attackable. I mean, there's still plenty of space in Fountain. That's NPC space that they can move to. They've got Branch, they've got that. I mean, they've got a ton of different places that they can go to if they need to, if they really have to, like, hunker down and wait it out. So that's the reality. And at some point, you know Test is going to get bored and go do something else. They already did. They went to Stain. I mean, how do you declare an invasion, you declare a war, and then you go off and do something else? I mean, come on. PanFam and the rest, even if they take that area and they want to turn it back into whatever ratting space it was before, okay, so what? There's plenty other space up in the north anyway. It's not like it's a big deal. And I don't know what Fraternity is going to do. I don't really know what Norouse's endgame is even doing this. Other than potentially, you know, we can get some good fights out of this because they're in the same time zone we are. I don't understand otherwise. And granted, obviously, you know, they are, you know, attached at the hip to PanFam these days. So whatever these guys do, they're going to do. But at the end of the day, I don't see what the point is. And in the end, you're not going to kill Sort. He has been attacked by everybody in the game at some point. He's still here. He hasn't gone anywhere. So, I mean, yes, maybe it's Deadco is a convenient punching bag, but at the end of the day, what's the final, you know, verdict going to be? I think this is going to turn into a fat lot of nothing. So I'm kind of looking for, when are we going to get some wars that actually have some kind of consequence? And that gets us back to the conversations we've been having on the show for the last month and a half, which is, why do the empires fight, and why do we not fight? And when we don't have things to fight over, we're kind of stuck in this position where people get fired up for a little while and it's a personal thing for a bit, but that kind of stuff cools down because you can't sustain that kind of anger for a long amount of time. And if there's nothing really to gain out of this, then why are we doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to, I think it would be really fun to see the rest of Eve like smash themselves into the gates of Delve. But the only way that would happen, I think, is if like the Imperium deployed and committed itself to defend Sword Dragon, and then we made the same mistake that we made during the early part of the Casino War, where, you know, we're defending Space Monkey's Alliance and indefensible ground, and we burn our people out, and then, you know, fall back, and then everybody else follows. But we've sort of learned that lesson from the whole pesky like Casino War thing, and so just want to say outright, not going to happen. People are welcome to storm Delve if they'd like to do it, but the Imperium will not be exhausting its forces besides like Sig and Squad and Amusement. You know, and everybody's up there and fucking around in the Galactic Northwest because it's easy to get to and nothing else is going on. But like, let's not delude ourselves into thinking that we are collectively playing anything more than a game of galactic and grab ass, because that's what's happening. And I'm fine with that. I think it's good that people are starting to have like simmering slap fights, and, you know, stuff is at least going on. But, you know, don't expect us on the meta show to like take it seriously when, you know, there's yet another, oh, I'm mad at Sword Dragon because of a thing, and, you know, he must be removed, or, oh, Fraternity is totally going to do this, and this time it's different. Just go like, oh, because, I mean, look, we're in the Northwest, but we're not lying about the fact that we're just playing grab ass, right? We're just fucking around up there while we're waiting for Team Talos to come out with more cool shit. And again, I'll echo Brisk's praise from the start of the show and say CCB does deserve some attaboys for all the stuff that's coming down, regardless of the criticisms I might have about the potential impact of the Shield Slaves. They've now built some credibility showing that they can tweak and balance these things, and, you know, maybe they'll tune them down to be a little bit less ridiculous as time goes on. But yeah, like, it's grad ass, guys. And I'm not going to go like, oh, my God, Fraternity is attacking. We're this time special. Oh, test attack. You know, Vili said that, you know, whatever. Just get over it. Like, we'll just admit that we're playing Calvin Ball until it's time to get actually butt blasted about something.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, we'll take it seriously when you guys take it seriously. And you're not demonstrating any kind of seriousness here. This is just kind of, you know.
And they'd be foolish to do right. so, right? Like, based upon what we see from the MER, like, they would be, you know, FRT, you know, is, you know, why would you want... This is the fundamental problem of FuzzySoft, right? Which is that FuzzySoft as a game mechanic is so fucking toxic to actual daily gameplay that there is this massive effort and bullshit threshold, not only to take the space, but then to hold and maintain the space. And... you know, that's something that I think has really sort of gone too far. And so there isn't really much of a purpose or an incentive to take space that isn't optimal, because then once you have it, you have to forever be willing to play FuzzySoft whenever somebody else decides that they're going to randomly try to hack some of your outlying bullshit areas. This is why, like, you look at the Imperium, like, our geography has these regions that are, like, you know, constantly... like, at any given moment, half of Quarius is not even officially in Imperium hands, right? Like, because it's just, like, why even bother defending it? Who cares? You know, fuck FuzzySoft, we're not going to touch it. And, you know, that's really one of the fundamental issues to the game, is that Conquest has so many barriers to actually being fun or interesting or worthwhile that the galaxy has too much space. It's just, there's just too much good stuff going around for everyone. There's not enough scarcity. And as a result... there is less Hell War. So I think you guys, you're right. You did get a rant. There was a rant at the very end of the show instead of the beginning of the show. So I started the show saying I wasn't going to have a rant, but I did. It was
we got
the
one.
End.
That's
we
good.
Got one. And there we are. Galactic grab ass. So thanks, guys. I think that's actually just about it on time. I think we're ending on a ranty note there.
And that's good. And that's good. And I think it saves us. We can talk about the MER next week. But I think, you know, like I said, like you said, this was a very interesting, very impactful week in EVE. I'm glad that we had a chance to talk about it today, and thanks to Jay for being with us.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Good to see everybody. We will see you next week for the Meta Show, and you stay classy, New EVE.